Today's program was brought to you by craftbeer.com, dedicated to small and independent U.S. craft brewers. For more information, visit craftbeer.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Hi, you're listening to Feast Meets West, the show where we tell the story behind your favorite Asian food dishes. I'm Linda Liu, and on the line is my co-host in Hong Kong, Iris Van Kerkhove.
Hello.
So we're broadcasting live from Heritage Radio Network inside of Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Every episode, Iris and I dig deep on an Asian dish, or in today's case, a certain cuisine. We trace its history, how it traveled to the West, and we interview experts on the topic.
Today we're talking about Filipino food. It's the first time that we've talked about a whole cuisine as opposed to picking a specific dish on Feast Meets West, but maybe Filipino food does need an introduction like this.
Yeah, so we hope to learn a little bit more about the cuisine and discuss whether or not it has arrived in the West in the way that many other Asian cuisines have. And to help us answer that question, we have Leah Cohen in the studio with us today. Leah was a season 5 contestant of Bravo's Top Chef. She opened her first restaurant, Pig and Cow, in the fall of 2012 in the Lower East Side of New York City. So Pig and Cow's menu is influenced by her Filipino heritage, her travels across Southeast Asia, and is perfected with the classic culinary techniques she picked up at the Culinary Institute of America. Pig and Cow has earned rave reviews. I got to try their food last night, and on the Filipino end of the menu, I had the baby octopus paksiw, pork belly adobo, crispy pata, and the halo halo, and everything was just really bomb.
Thank you.
So before we chat, Iris, could you give us a general description of Filipino food and just tell us about some well-known dishes?
Yeah, sure. So Philippine cuisine really reflects the history of the country and all the many different cultural influences. It's a cuisine that has evolved over centuries, starting from the food of the original people of the Philippines to a mixed cuisine with Spanish, Mexican, Chinese, Japanese, Malay, Indonesian, Indian, and American influences. So definitely a lot of cultural influences there. The cuisine centers around the combination of sweet, sour, and salty. It has a reputation of being very meat-heavy, which it is to an extent, but it's also maybe a misrepresentation that it's just for carnivores. One of my good friends was telling me that she never understood why people say that about Filipino food because she has so many memories of growing up eating traditional vegetable dishes that are from the Philippines. So, I mean, don't get me wrong, the meat is prevalent, but it's not all just meat. So hopefully we'll talk about these dishes in depth in later episodes, but here's a couple of Filipino dishes you might want to know. So there's adobo, not to be confused with the Latin American spice mixture. It's chicken or pork braised in garlic vinegar, oil, and soy sauce. Then there's pancit palabok. It's rice noodles with shrimp-based sauce, dry fish flakes, pork belly or cracklings, hard-boiled egg, and shrimp. There's sisig. It's marinated pork head and liver, which is boiled and grilled and finely diced. And then there's like the sizzling sisig version, where it's served on a sizzling plate along with onions, chilies, and it makes it a crispier version of the dish. Then there's kare kare, oxtail and peanut butter stew with vegetables and bits of offal, and bagung, which is a fermented shrimp paste. And then As a wild card, I'll throw out balut. It's you've probably heard of this. A developing bird embryo that is boiled and eaten from the shell.
Yeah.
So there's just a couple dishes to show you the variety of Philippine cuisine.
That's awesome. Definitely quite pork heavy, I would say.
Yes, definitely.
So, Iris, what are some milestones you think that's indicating there's a growing popularity of Filipino food?
Sure. So a couple years back, you'd have some like TV personalities talking about Filipino food, sort of not for the first time, but in maybe in a mainstream way in America. So, you know, especially Andrew Zimmern in 2012, he showed the world Filipino food on his TV show, and he predicted that it would be the next big thing. Then following that, we saw some trailblazers in the restaurant world that eased Americans into Filipino food. For example, there was Key in Austin, Milkfish in New Orleans, Purple Yam in Brooklyn, and Maharlika and Jeepney in East Village.
Mm-hmm.
So that was sort of the, I guess, evolution of Filipino food starting to become popular in the States.
Yeah, so super glad to see so many of these restaurants pop on the scene. What do you think took so long? What took them so long?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, a lot of other Asian cuisines, even Southeast Asian cuisines, it didn't take this long for it to become more mainstream. So a couple of reasons that we were talking about, maybe there's a fear factor. I think people, there are a lot of, I guess, for Americans, non-traditional meats or sort of stranger items from a Western perspective, like balut. I guess that sounds kind of scary if you've never had embryo in an egg before.
Have you had
I don't mess with it. It's something, like, my mom will, like, just pop it in her mouth and she, like, eats it.
Yeah,
but, like,
I hear it's like a street snack over there.
It is a street snack, and it goes really well with beer, but I would have to have a lot of beer in order to eat it.
I had it once, and I think I was, like, trying to impress my date or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a weird way to impress a date, but that's why you're awesome, Linda.
Thanks.
So there's also the fact that I think Filipinos also, they assimilate really well into U.S. culture, and maybe it's because they have a history of assimilating other cultures into their own. So, you know, I think they're very happy to eat American food. There was maybe less of a need to, like, put out their food to other people. And then, again, it's not great for vegetarians. There's a lot of meat there, even if there are vegetables. People are concerned about the health factors. It has a reputation for being very heavy. There's a lot of unfamiliar ingredients, unfamiliar flavors with all the acid and sour notes. And then a really interesting article we were reading in the Washington Post was talking about how some Filipino immigrants in America have felt a sense of shame or dishonor around their food, and they use the term hiya, with its duck embryos, pig's blood, shrimp paste, and other ingredients. So that was really interesting because I'd never heard of that. And it's weird because it's not something that I've heard other Asian cultures feel about their food.
Yeah, definitely. That's a really unique point there.
Yeah. So Linda, in New York, do you feel that the Filipino food scene has really taken off? Has it really become the next big thing?
I think it's definitely present now, in the sense that, like, essentially all of my friends have tried the cuisine. I don't think I could say the same about it, like, you know, 7 or 10 years ago. So I think it's arrived. I think we still need to talk more about its popularity factor. And also, it's interesting, I think there might be more, like, home-style restaurants out in the West Coast, or that's what I've heard from some friends. And we do have some kind of nicely, like, packaged and fun restaurants here in this city, where there's a very, like, celebratory environment to them. So it's really fun to hang. pig and cow included. And there's also that like little Manila nook in Woodside, Queens.
Where I used to live, yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe there was a Jollibee there. I was like, this is crazy.
Oh, it's the best. They have mango pie. I don't have to go all the way to Manila to get a mango pie. It's amazing.
Iris, what about in Hong Kong? How many times are you going to Jollibee?
Well, it's weird because there's so many Filipinos in Hong Kong, but I feel like it's kind of the same thing where it's like Filipino food is really flying under the radar here. Local people have no interest in eating it. Expats have no interest in eating it, and no one's really introducing it to them either. It's really only if you have close friends that are Filipinos, I feel, that you would have the chance to really eat it. And there's definitely no, like, trendy restaurants. It's very much, like, home-style food. Well, that or Jollibee. So, yeah, it's a shame. It's really not, you know, something that's enjoyed outside of the Filipino community in Hong Kong.
Mm. Yeah, and it's a fun fact for the U.S., we found out that over the past 50 years, the Filipino-American population has grown to over 3.4 million, and it actually represents the fourth largest immigrant group in the U.S., by country of origin behind Mexico, China, and India. So I think just as like a collective voice, you know, this group is becoming louder, and the food needs, you know, now to be like truly represented.
Yeah, for sure.
So we're gonna chat with Leah now, and maybe we'll start with having her tell us about her relationship with mm-hmm. Filipino food.
So my mom is from the Philippines. I'm half Filipina. And when I grew up, I actually was not a huge fan of Filipino cuisine.
And where did you grow up?
I grew up in New York. But we used to go to, you know, potluck parties like every weekend with my mom's friends. And I was exposed to Filipino food at like a very, very young age. But again, I was young and I wasn't that adventurous of an eater, so I thought a lot of the ingredients were like weird and like very off-putting. And it wasn't until I kind of really started cooking and was more adventurous with what I was eating that I started to really, you know, dive deep into Filipino cuisine and, you know, see what it was all about. I think one of, you know, the interesting things is there are a lot of exotic ingredients that people are unfamiliar with, and I think to just be able to be free and open to that is the best way to really just kind of learn about a cuisine. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So what are the aspects that you love best about this particular cuisine, and what makes it stand out, do you feel like, compared to others?
I mean, it is a very pork or meat heavy cuisine. I'm not going to lie. I mean, there are definitely vegetables, but like usually the vegetables have meat. but I love the acid. Like Filipinos love vinegar. Like they can put vinegar on anything, and it is just, it just brightens everything up. And it's just one of those kind of flavors that I crave. Mm-hmm. And they use a lot of garlic and soy, black pepper and bay leaves. Those are like, you can make anything Filipino with those like five ingredients. And that's basically what an adobo is. Mm-hmm. But I just find it really interesting because it is so, you know, it pulls from so many different cultures and has made up, it's like a melting pot within its own country of, you know, all the different cultures that they pull from. And I really like that it has a huge Spanish influence and a mm-hmm. huge Chinese influence as well. And it's kind of interesting to see how they take those two and kind of fuse it together to make Filipino cuisine.
Yeah, that's really amazing. It's really rich in its history. What are your like food inspirations, or who have been your food inspirations in Filipino food? Is it your mom?
Yeah, I mean, definitely my mom. I wouldn't say she was a good cook, which she hates when I say that. And I'm just being honest. Like she has like four dishes that she can make like really well, and then everything else is just kind of whatever. Sorry, Mom. But you know, the thing that's great is, and I think with every culture, you know, they have the four dishes that they make well, mm-hmm. but everyone wants to show off what they can make. So, and they're really open about teaching you the dishes that they can make. So when I was opening Pig and Cow, I of course went to the Philippines and I learned from one of my dad's friends, because my dad thinks he's Filipino. Okay. He's like the whitest Jewish guy ever, but he moved to the Philippines. Like I was telling you earlier, he met my mom in dental school and he thinks he's Filipino now. Like when he goes to the Philippines, he speaks in a Filipino accent because he thinks that people are going to understand him better. I'm like, yo, you're speaking English. And your accent is terrible. Like no one, it's embarrassing. But so my dad actually has a lot of Filipino friends, maybe more than my mom now. So I went to the Philippines and
sounds like the mayor or something.
Well, he's friends with the mayor on our island, okay. And he's friends with like senators and like, it's crazy. But he has a lot of friends there. And so I went out there and I learned, with this one guy how to make like four different dishes. And then when I was back in New York, one of my mom's friends, taught me how to make like his four dishes. And so they're really, cause everyone wants, all the Filipinos want Filipino cuisine to be a thing. They want people to know more about it. So they're not like, they're not trying to hide anything or be secretive. They really just want people to learn as much as they can. So they're really, you know, they're open to sharing their, you know, their recipes with people.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so what brought you to open Pig and Cow?
So it actually had to do with Top Chef. After Top Chef aired, and I was running an Italian restaurant in the West Village for about a year, and I was just getting like... totally, can I curse on?
Yeah,
I got. Totally. I was getting like shit on by all the blogs. Like, this girl can't cook. She has no reason to be on the show. Blah blah blah. And I just,
TV is mean.
It's mean. There was like so many trolls, and they were just so mean to me. And I was just like, and you know, I'm like a friendly person. I've never had anyone like hate on me like that, and just like in such a like crazy way. And I was just like, you know, I went on the show to further my career. I probably had no business being on the show. I was very young and inexperienced, but I was like, fuck it, I'm just gonna go and try to do the best that I can do and have fun. So I wanted to get back to my roots, get back to cooking, get back to something that I was passionate about. I fell out of love with doing Italian cuisine. And I was like, you know what? Like, I just want to go somewhere where no one knows who I am, no one knows what Top Chef is.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of packed a suitcase and moved to Southeast Asia. And it was the best thing I ever did. It was like the best year of my life, and yeah, it was just completely amazing. And so I spent a lot of time in different countries. You know, I spent a lot of my time in Thailand and the Philippines, but I traveled like Malaysia, Indonesia, Vietnam, everywhere. And I came back wanting to, like, having learned so much, I wanted to be able to make food that people could kind of, like, learn about the countries that I visited through the food that I was making. So that's kind of how Pig and Cow evolved. And because originally I went there to go to Thailand and I wanted to open a Thai restaurant. And then after I came back, my mom was like, you can't just do a Thai restaurant. Like, if you're going to do an Asian restaurant, you have to have some Filipino element. Like, that's, you know, you can't disgrace your culture like that and not represent. So I was like, you're right, Mom. And I didn't want to be pigeonholed into a specific cuisine. That's why I picked something so broad as like Southeast Asian, because, you know, you can do kind of pull from so many different countries. And it's been great. Like, I wasn't sure 5 years ago if people would be into all the Filipino food that I have on my menu. But the Filipino community has been really, for the most part, been really supportive. And, you know, and they've like welcomed me with open arms, because it's, you know, it's hard for a girl who looks 100% white Jewish to be accepted as like a half Filipina. Like, it's just, you know, if I looked a little bit more Asian, I feel like maybe I would get a little bit more respect. But someone sees me and they're like, oh, what does this white girl know about Filipino food? I'm like, well, actually, I'm half Jewish, half Filipino. Like, don't let the face fool you. But yeah, it's been great. And like, I'm really happy that it's kind of having a moment, and it's just getting more and more popular. And I'm actually happy that it hasn't like just like popped off, because that means it'll like have a staying power. You know what I mean? Like it's not
kind of this gradual growth.
Gradual growth instead of just like, oh, it's this hot new trend, and then like 2 years later people are like, I don't give a shit about Filipino cuisine. But I see restaurants like in DC popping up, and like, I mean, I know California has a huge Filipino community. I think it's awesome. I think people just don't know what Filipino cuisine is. If someone were to ask me what is Filipino cuisine, it's hard for me to define it in like two sentences. Mm-hmm. I was just in the Philippines in April for Madrid Fusion. They flew me out there and I was like doing a demo, and it was like talking about like, what does Filipino cuisine mean to you, and how like would you describe it? I'm like, how long you got? Because like, I don't know. Like, it's a very hard cuisine to just kind of, you know, talk about and describe in like three minutes.
Yeah, every dish is just so complex with the flavors and the ingredients in themselves.
Yeah.
So that totally makes sense. So we're going to take a really quick break, and we'll be right back to talk more Filipino cuisine.
Do you love craft beer? The diversity of styles and flavors? The stories of small brewery businesses and the communities behind today's craft beer movement? If so, you'll love craftbeer.com, published by the Brewers Association. Whether you tasted your first craft beer 30 years ago or just caught the bug last week, craftbeer.com is the number one destination for beer education, news, and recipes. Looking for a local brewery? Use the internet's most robust brewery finder to discover your new favorite place. Want to get geeky about your favorite beer style or find the perfect pairing for dinner? Craftbeer.com is the leading authority and can help. Celebrate the best of American beer. Visit craftbeer.com today.
Hi, you're listening to Feast Meets West. Today we have Leah Cohen in the studio with us talking about Filipino food. So Leah, what kind of Filipino dishes do you serve at your restaurant?
So we have probably like six or seven different dishes on the menu. You had a bunch of them last night. So we have our pork belly adobo. We have our crispy pata, the octopus paksiw. We have the sisig, which surprisingly is our most popular dish. And originally when I put that on the menu, I was like, no one's going to order pig head. But they do. And it's crazy.
That's
like,
awesome. Who orders it? And is it like the Filipino community, that audience, or just like everyone?
Everyone. I mean, the good thing about sisig is that it is like diced up. So no one knows that it's actual, like, unless you told them that it was like pig head, no one would know. So it's a little bit more approachable in that sense. But everyone orders it. Even like the whitest people that you wouldn't think would order it. Like that. Yeah.
That's,
I mean,
awesome.
It's great.
How did you come up with this particular selection of dishes? Cause I know you have to break it up with like the other Southeast Asian inspired.
Yeah. I wanted to do kind of, I always pick food based on, or the menu based on things that I like to eat, and hope that the rest of the public would like to eat it. And if not, we'll take it off the menu. But it's things that I really enjoy. I enjoy making, I enjoy eating, and I think will go well with drinking. Because that's the most important thing. You want to like be able to eat and drink at the same time. I think that those two go together. Some people are not that into it, but like I like beer, like food that goes really well with beer. So sisig is like, it's a great like cure for a hangover, or if you're drinking, like you can go both ways with it. And then some other dishes that we have three of our desserts, and one of which you had, halo-halo. That's some other Filipino items that we have. And I mean, halo-halo is having a moment right now, especially we put ube ice cream. Is not everyone does it, but like ube ice cream is like blowing up right now. And I don't know if it's because it's purple and everything, it's cute,
it's
on Instagram. But like, I mean, I'm like, yo, I've been eating ube since I was four. You guys are like, you guys don't even know what's up.
So what about over the years? Has there been like room to expand to more adventurous dishes?
And has your like clientele like grown with you, or even like changed over the years? Because you've been around for like
almost 5 years. Yeah. Almost 5 years. It'll be in October. I would say, to be honest, it kind of, the more popular you grow, the kind of more limitations you have, because you have a lot
more scrutiny.
Yeah. And a lot of people who aren't that adventurous, but like hear about Pig and Cow and they're like, oh, I heard that place is good, but they like don't want to go that deep. They just want to like test the waters, and like they don't, you know, want to eat like fermented shrimp paste or something like that, which I can eat spoonfuls of. So it's like we have, you know, the people that come there because of what we do, but then the people that come there because of maybe what they've heard. So it's kind of, you have to be choosy about, you know, what dishes you put on the menu. But I try to be adventurous as much as possible, and I try to not like dumb it down, because I don't think there's a point to dumb it down. Like, people are going there, whether or not you decide after the meal, like, you like Filipino food or not, I want you to know what Filipino food tastes like.
Yeah, that's totally fair. That's a good mission to have. What's your favorite dish? What's your favorite Filipino dish?
My favorite Filipino dish is the sisig. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, for the longest time, I thought sisig was very unappetizing. Like, I just, you know what? I actually never had a really good sisig until I had the guy's version, the guy that I learned how to make it from in the Philippines. And because it's not as fatty as a lot of the stuff that you have in the Philippines. They also don't, we tend to, in the Philippines, they use like every part of the animal, like, like nothing goes to waste, but we clean up we clean up the faces and we clean up a lot. Like, people use like snout in it. Like, we don't put that in there. We break it down into the different muscle groups of the head. And then we trim off a lot of the fat. And so you get just the right amount of fat. And then we don't put liver in it. But if we could get pork brain or pig's brain, I would put that in instead of the egg, because that's originally where the egg is like a more modern take on it, because it's supposed to mimic the creaminess of the brain. But you can't get that here. Not fresh brain.
Bummer.
I know.
Yeah, that's interesting how you're adapting it to the New York audience, but you're still trying to like educate and stay authentic to what you've had in the Philippines.
Yeah, for sure.
So do you think that it will become mainstream, that Filipino food will become mainstream in the same way the other Asian cuisines have, and even like Thai and Malaysian food?
I mean, I would say Thai food is just like 30 years ahead of Filipino cuisine, if not more. I think Malaysian food is kind of a close comparison. It's probably a little bit more popular, but there's still a lot of people who don't know what Malaysian food is. If I were to be like, name me five Malaysian dishes, they'd be like, you know what I mean? So I think, I mean, I hope so. I think it's a great cuisine. I think, you know, right now there's a lot of second generation or like Filipino born Americans that like maybe haven't, you know, really been to the Philippines, that are really like trying to, you know, learn about their culture through Filipino cuisine. And it's like their way of learning about their culture by making this kind of food. And I think that that's great. I think, you know, there is so much good Filipino food out there that people just need to try it and be educated on it.
Yeah. That sounds like definitely something that's going to happen. What do you see for the future of Filipino food here in the city and also, beyond, like across the United States?
I think it's going to gain more and more popularity each year. And I think, you know, there's a lot of Filipino cooks or chefs who are, you know, worked in, you know, high end, like fine dining restaurants that are really trying to do something close to their heart. And now, you know, they trained under all these people and they learned all these techniques, and now they're going to present Filipino cuisine in a new, fun and interesting way. I see every day on Instagram, like new restaurants opening up. And I'm really excited about that, because I mean, we should all go and eat Filipino food.
Yeah. So as it also grows in popularity,
yes.
You know, there's going to be competition. How are you going to stand out, or
just, you know, ride the wave?
I mean, I have no idea. I have not thought of that yet. I think for the most part, it is good. Like, we are not a Filipino restaurant, mm-hmm. Although we get kind of branded as one sometimes. But I think, you know, the more that Filipino cuisine gains in popularity, the better it is for my restaurant and, you know, just for Filipinos in general. But we kind of have an advantage because we aren't specifically mm-hmm. Filipino. So, you know, if people want to come in and get some Thai food, they'll maybe come to Pig and Cow or Vietnamese dishes or whatever. But, you know, I think that there's always room for everyone. There's, yeah. you know, it's not a direct competition. It's more just like making everyone aware of what, you know, of what Filipino cuisine is. Mm-hmm. And so I'm happy and I'm open to it. And I hope a lot of Filipino restaurants keep opening up.
Yeah, I do too. So for the newcomers to this cuisine, mm-hmm. How would you recommend they approach something new like Filipino food?
I would say maybe like start off slow.
What does that mean?
Like, you know, I mean, there's a lot of, I would say adobo is a very non-threatening dish that everyone loves. Like, I used to make it for staff meal when I worked at 11 Madison Park. I actually made it at every restaurant. I made it for staff meal I worked at because it's so easy. It's like it's like a one pot dish and people love it. And so that is like a good, easy way to like get into the cuisine. And then you really kind of, you can taste the flavors, what Filipino cuisine is supposed to taste like. And then like, you know, eventually you can like get up to balut level, but like slowly, baby steps, if you're scared of it, you know, a little shrimp paste at a time, you know? But I don't think that anything is like too funky that like, mm-hmm. aside from balut, that like you can't just try once. And you know what I mean? Just be open. Just if you don't like it, okay, you don't like it. It's not going to kill you. Just don't eat it again, you know?
I think that's definitely a really fair point. And we talked about this a little bit, about some like misconceptions on the cuisine mm-hmm. that like vegetarians can't eat it or like it's, too funky. You know, what are your thoughts about like dispelling some of this stuff?
Well, I would say, you know, it is meat heavy, but there are a lot of vegetables. And so you can get a lot of vegetables with your meat. And there's a lot of seafood too. I mean, really like the food is based on where, like what part of the country you're from. So like we have a house in the Philippines and when I'm there on the island, we rarely eat any meat. It's all seafood, which is delicious, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's really based on where, like what part of the country you're in. And I think it's great that if we could, we being like chefs who do Filipino food, mm-hmm. showcase the other side, that it's not so meat heavy and that there are other options aside from meat. But I think, you know, and it's not too funky. I mean, a lot of the times, like you can get like you put shrimp paste on the side and like mm-hmm. you don't have to eat it if you don't want to. It does enhance the flavor of the dish, but you can just add a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, for vegetarians, though, that's hard because, like, there's fish sauce in a lot, I mean,
yeah,
in every.
It's a pescatarian.
Pescatarian, totally, like, vegetarian, vegan, not so friendly.
Mm-hmm. Got it. But that sounds really cool that there's opportunity to showcase and grow the different, like, regional aspects to the cuisine, too, mm-hmm. and that hasn't been seen so much here yet. So definitely excited, like, to see that expand in the horizon. And so talking about the future, what's next for Pig and Cow and what are your goals?
So I'm actually working on a cookbook.
Ooh.
Yes. I am like 90.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah. It's a lot of work. I'm like 95% done with the proposal. So hopefully someone will buy it. And then I am looking to expand to do either a second Pig and Cow or a spinoff. I have a few concepts in mind that I would like to do. We also have a QSR concept, not a QSR, but like kind of like a takeout thing. I don't know if you've seen on my Instagram, we do pad cakes at the restaurant. So it's basically a Korean dough stuffed with pad thai that's pan fried. And then we have a pad thai dipping sauce. But you can literally stuff that Korean dough with anything. So next month we're changing the flavor and we're going to do like a Thai masaman beef curry. And then we're going to just stuff it with a bunch of different things. But I've done like sweet and savory versions of it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to do like a little takeout.
That's awesome. That. Sounds like a great vehicle for different flavors.
Yeah. And that's maybe throw some ube in there for all the Instagram.
Yes, the dessert version.
Yeah.
That's a good shout.
Yeah.
So, Leah, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
You're welcome. It was so much fun. And I'm just happy to be talking about Filipino cuisine and, you know, and the popularity of it. And I hope everyone goes out and eats Filipino food after this.
Yeah. Any thoughts, Iris?
It was really fascinating. Thank you so much, Leah.
Of course. You're welcome.
So thank you, listeners, for tuning in. If you're enjoying the show, please remember to show us some love by leaving us a rating and a review on iTunes. And we're a new show, so we do need reviews for other people to find us. Simply search Feast Meets West on the podcast section of the iTunes store and click on Feast Meets West by Heritage Radio Network and click ratings and reviews. We would really, really appreciate it, and you'll help other folks find out about the show. We'll be back next week with more awesome conversations in the world of Asian food.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.